I'd like to have you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to read verses 13 through 20. Matthew 16, 13 through 20. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Have you ever had a burning desire to see Jesus in person? I know we talked about that in our class this morning. We would see Jesus. Well, how about you? Now, surely all who love him would like to have walked with him, talked with him, watched him perform miracles, hear him preach the Sermon on the Mount, walk on water. But it's not even possible for us to know what he looked like. You know, little children have seen pictures of him so often that when we try to explain to them, well, this is just a representation of Jesus. We don't know what he really looked like. And they've been known to say, well, it certainly looks like Jesus, because that's what they have in their minds. And so we would like to see him and know what, and you know, photography wasn't invented back then. So, and there's no artist drawings of him that's available to us today. So what does the Bible say about getting to know Jesus? The Bible tells us just exactly what Jesus was like in many respects. And so I'd like to consider them in this lesson with you this morning. First of all, I would suggest to your mind that Jesus was like God. In John 14 and verse 9, Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? Yet John writes in 1 John chapter 4, that's supposed to be 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. His love has been perfected in us." Now, while it is true that no one has seen God at any time, those who looked at Jesus, got as close to seeing God as they possibly could. Thus, we can say with surety that Jesus was like God. Well, when we say like God, what do we mean by this? Well, we mean that he shares the trait of eternity with God. In other words, he did not have a point of beginning. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So, in the beginning, as we understand it, of the earth, Jesus was in the beginning. And then we turn our attention over to John 8 and verse 58, which tells us that Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, now catch this, before Abraham was, I am. He existed before Abraham. He was, he already was in the beginning, not became, but was. And he is also referred to as Emmanuel. According to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, which is a quote of Isaiah 7 and 14, the angel told Joseph that Jesus was the fulfillment of prophecy. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. But along this same line, we realize that the Bible tells us that Jesus existed in the form of God from eternity. But he willingly took the form of man. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I want to begin reading with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not count it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, the word form, as it's used here, being in the form of God, the word form comes from the Greek word morphē, which denotes the special characteristic form or feature of a person or thing. Now, the question is, what is the form of God? Well, according to the scriptures in John 4 and verse 24, God is spirit. So, thus, Jesus was in the form of God, or he was spirit. And he took on the form of man, flesh and bones. Now, also, in keeping with prophecy, Jesus was the Son of God. We cited Isaiah 7 and 14, which says that a virgin would bring forth a son. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, we find that Mary had not known a man until after Jesus was born. Thus, he was conceived by God miraculously. There is no doubt that he is the Son of God. And also, he was proven to be the Son of God by the mighty works which he did. If you look at John 10 and verses 37 and 38, he said, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. You know, Nicodemus recognized this factor when he came to Jesus and said in John 3 and verse 1, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Peter referred to these things in Acts 2, and verse 22, when he told the people assembled there on Pentecost, "Men of Israel, hear these words which God of Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." But the final proof of his deity was in his resurrection. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, in Romans 1 and verse 4, he was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And this fact was confirmed over 500 times at once. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6. He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. We, along with Thomas, must surely say, as is recorded in John 20 and 28, "The Lord of me and the God of me." That was Thomas's exclamation upon seeing Jesus. But what was Jesus like? Well, he was like a man. And it's hard for us to comprehend how the Son of God could be like a man. But he was. In our reading of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, notice that the word became, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, the term the Son of Man was used by Jesus to point to the fact that he was born into a physical body. Now, that what's significant about that is there are those who say, well, okay, he appeared to be a man. He really wasn't. So he really didn't die. He only appeared to do. And that doctrine was popular amongst people in the first century. They couldn't comprehend how there could be God with us and him die. That just doesn't make sense. But Jesus said that he is the Son of Man. And notice in our text of John 1:14, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. What does he mean by the Word? Well, that's Christ. And it says Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. And notice, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, the Hebrew writer here says of Christ, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me.'" Think about this. Humanity and deity coming together in the virgin birth. It's kind of mind-blowing to really think about it. But you notice that to do this, he had to make himself of no reputation. We just read a moment ago in Philippians 2:7, he made himself of no reputation. The American Standard Version It says he emptied himself. Now, this doesn't mean that he gave up his godhood. That's not what it's telling us. He didn't cease to be what he was essentially and eternally. What he gave up were the riches and glory of heaven for the earth. And we understand emptying himself meaning that, not the giving up of godhood. How else could God be with us? Doesn't make sense. While in the flesh, Jesus had human characteristics. He grew. He had hunger. He got weary. He slept. He had sorrow. He had compassion. He was subject to like temptations that we have, yet without sin. Look, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Errol kind of preached my sermon this morning, so I'm going to just skip over some of this. We understand this. This is not a difficult concept to understand. But I want you to ponder a question with me. Why did Jesus become flesh? Why? Well, because Jesus in the flesh is the only sacrifice that God would accept. Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wages of sin is death. And John 3 and verse 16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. That's death. Only Christ could satisfy God's righteous demand of death for sin. The reason being, he alone was sinless. Looking back here with me at to Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 10. I read a few moments ago about Jesus saying, sacrifice and offering you did not desire from me, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin you had no pleasure. Now, behold, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will, that is the second, we have been sanctified to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's why he had to come in a physical form of a man. And because of the fact that he did all of this, as deity and humanity, he is a perfect mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and down at verse 5, Paul wrote, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, notice the emphasis, the man, Christ Jesus. You have the manhood and the deity, both contained in the statement, man, and Christ Jesus. But there's another one that comes to mind, and that is, how was he like John the Baptizer? Now, I'm going to warn you in advance. I'm going to attack John the Baptizer this afternoon, Lord willing. So I'm not going to say a lot about him, but I do want you to get this. In Matthew 16, 13, 14, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked them, who do men say that I am? Now, why did they say he was like John? Well, some say they were cousins, and so there's a good reason to believe that they may have had similarities in the way they looked. But we don't know that for sure. But they did both preach alike. Both preached repentance and the kingdom at hand. Both Jesus and John. There's Matthew 3 and Mark chapter 1. But another thing about both of them is neither one of them could stand hypocrites. Neither one of them. John in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 and 8 said, many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, and he said, brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Jesus in Matthew 23 and verse 13. Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. But more than this, they were both men of self-denial. You've read about John, and you were going to read about him this evening. But John ate locusts and wild honey. Some diet. He didn't own a fancy suit of clothes. Now, on the other side, Jesus' maternity ward was found in a stable. And he said, birds have nests, but he didn't have a place to lay his head. And you know something? He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Jesus, though, was also like Elijah. Looking back at Matthew 16 and verse 14, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah. And Elijah lived about 850 years before Christ came to the earth. Now, Malachi chapter 4, no, there it is. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 says that Elijah would come before the day of the Lord. What did God mean? Did he mean literally Elijah would come? No, he meant an antitype of Elijah. The Jews thought it was literal. But what kind of a man was Elijah that made Jesus like him? Well, we know Elijah was taken up into heaven. 2 Kings 2:11, it happened as they continued on, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Well, how about Jesus? Well, Acts chapter 1, verse 9 says, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So he's like Elijah in that sense. But like Elijah, he also called for decisions. In 1 Kings 18, down to verse 21, Elijah came to the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered not a word. Well, we find Jesus saying over in Matthew 6 and verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other." What's the point? You cannot serve God and mammon. And of course, mammon is another word for riches. Well, Jesus was also like Jeremiah. Now, in Matthew 16:14, some said, you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others, Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And as such, the book of Lamentations is full of lamentations over Israel, crying for the terrible sinful condition. Some have said he poured out his heart for lost Israel, and that really sums it up. But Jesus wept for the lost. In Luke 19, down verse 41, notice, as he drew near to the city of Jerusalem, it says he wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Jesus, just like Jeremiah. But like Jeremiah, Jesus was also a friend of sinners. He pled with them to return to God. Look at Matthew 23 and verse 37. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." The Jews had been told that God would raise up a prophet, according to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. And Peter said, "Jesus is the one. He's the one." What was Jesus like? Well, all we know is that he has revealed everything that we need to know to be pleasing in his sight. But we do know that someday we'll all stand before him and we'll see him finally as he is. How do I know this? Well, in 1 John 3 and verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, at that time, when we finally see him, is a time when we're going to give account of ourselves unto God. God has appointed him as the one who will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17, verse 30. Now, with all of these things in view, are you ready for that day to come? It may come before you expect it, or before any of us expect it. We don't know. Well, how can we be ready? Well, we're ready by preparing now and keeping ourselves prepared. Because that day is going to come someday. If you are not prepared to stand before God in judgment, we hope that you will take this as a serious warning and that you will indeed give yourself in humble submission to God in obedience to the gospel plan of salvation and begin preparing for this day.